Hey, Fades, thanks for checking out the Fate of Ison, Chapter 6, Episode 15. I'm DM Brad, and it is wicked to have you here with us. If you're listening to this before the 1st of July 2021, then there is still time to enter our 3-year Podiversary giveaway. All you have to do is get in touch with us on social media, that's at Fate of Ison on all the major ones, or email fateofison@gmail.com to tell us your favourite NPC from Ison. We've had a lot of NPCs over the past 3 years, so there's a lot to choose from, and it has been awesome learning which NPCs everybody likes. After the entries are closed, we will draw some names to win dice from our partners over at DiceVault.com, or some merch from our merch store. Okie dokie, let's recap the previous episode. Last time, Marley, Arcus, and Drew battled their way through the rain-soaked town of Kaplain, saving civilians from plant-based creatures that had been summoned by a dragon-born druid named Mitchell Moore. Drew's elemental servant, Jasper the Zorn, confronted the druid in the town square, and the Squadeth engaged in a heated battle. And it is Pin's turn, and she's just going to load up an arrow on her longbow and fire away at... would Arcus and Marley be instructing her on whom they should be focusing on?
Arcus is in a backseat driver.
Okay. I think Marley would have said who she was firing at, but that she was firing non-lethally. Firing to harm, not kill.
Right.
So.
Okay. Yep, in that case, Pin is also going to try and fire a longbow off at the druid. She's going to ignore the plant creature and let the giant elemental demon thing take care of it. Oh, that's a 24 to hit. That is good. Pin is good with her bow.
Nice.
Oh, her damage sucks though. 4.
Ouch.
And yeah, so just this longbow, this arrow just sails through the rain past the plant creature and just like phoom, embeds in the arm of this druid, who now well and truly is aware of exactly where you are, and on his turn, I'm telling you right now, he's going to start coming towards you. And I think he needs to maintain concentration on the moonbeam.
He should do. I'm pretty sure that's a con spell.
Yeah, oh yeah, concentration, so he only took 4 damage. Yeah, he's fine. And now Marley.
She's thinking madly about this. And as she's thinking madly and she's got her crossbow out and her shield out, she's like, and then she sort of starts humming to herself. She like itching to bring her saxophone out, but she can't. And she just sort of goes, it's just a charm to the left. A wisdom save to the right. Roll your dice real good, dear. Cross your fingers tight. A crown of iron appears on their head. It's Crown of Madness time again. So,
what's the distance on that?
120 foot, I checked.
Oh, easy pizzeasy.
So it's a wisdom save 17. I'm aware that druids have a wisdom save, wisdom as their spell casting, so it's a risky move, yep. But...
Yeah, he's like, got a +6 on his wisdom saves.
Yeah, but he could still roll shit, so...
Just a...
That is a 9, he fails.
Nice! So he's charmed by me, and he must use his action before moving on each of his turns to make a melee attack against a creature other than itself that I mentally choose. But if he can't reach any, like he can't actually reach any, which he probably can't, like
he's
then he just
away from the flower.
Yeah, like he just kind of acts normally. But more importantly, he is charmed by me. Do you know what I mean? Yep. And so I'm going to tell everybody to stop firing at him, concentrate on the plant, and I'm going to sort of yell out to him in that, hi, my name's Marley, come a bit closer. We just want to talk. Come on.
I've got candy.
Yeah.
Come to my van.
My name is Chicka Chicka Marley.
And now it is the flower's turn, and in lieu of any other opponents, it's just going to try and three tentacle whip the Zorn.
Which is still a pile of goo.
Oh, good point. It is still a pile of goo. I forgot
it's
about
that. It's still an impiable, invincible goo until it's... So it can attack the goo. Like, I'm not saying it should.
It wouldn't. It doesn't know that the pile of goo is an opponent. It's just goo. So it's going to just move 20 feet closer, because it can't move very quickly, towards the rest of you. So it's 40 feet from you, and Mitch Elmore is 80 feet. And now it's Arcus.
I would like to toll the dead.
On whom?
On the plant, please.
Planty boy, okay. Yep.
So that's rolls... a wisdom.
It's a plant.
How wise can it be?
It got a 6.
Great. So that's 3d12 that I get to roll.
Okay. Yeah, and you all notice that, like, with it being closer, it's actually... there are, like, human bodies sticking out of it. Like, clearly it's been absorbing or sort of assimilating bodies. There are 6 bodies.
Oh, a carnivorous plant. 25 necrotic damage.
Very nice. So, describe that spell. Describe what you do and what happens to the flower.
So I just, like, point at the flower and I'm like, the end is nigh! And there's just this, like, tolling that happens, like a bell in the barrel, like, dong, dong, dun, dong, dun, 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 dun. And it just, like, rips apart into the plant from the vibrations.
Nice. Yeah. It's parts of the plant shrivel up on the inside, and one of the bodies falls out onto the rainy pavement.
You know how some people, like, will sing to their plants or, like, give it, like, classical music to help grow? It's like that, but used for evil. or used to harm.
Okay, and now it's Mitch Elmore's turn, and so I guess he's at the whim of Marley.
I said not really, because, like, obviously I selected the plant, but it's out of his reach.
So can he use his movement speed to get to it as part of the spell, or does he have to attack what's immediately next to him?
No, it's the target can act normally on its turn if I choose no creature or if none are within its reach. So if he can't reach the plant with a melee attack, he's just still charmed by me. So he can act how he would act, but I'm like, come on, you know.
Okay, yeah, he was going to come towards you anyway before you did that, because now he knows where you are.
Yeah.
And he was going to come and attack you. So
but I've chosen the plant. I don't think he can this turn anyway, but if he moved 40 foot, then next turn he could. He'd have to, if that makes sense. But not this turn. Yeah.
Yeah, so his speed is 40 foot.
I have to maintain concentration on it for that to work, but I will.
So he'll move 40 feet closer, which does bring him next to the flower.
But that would be his own choice to do so, because it's attack before move. So you've moved, so.
Yep. So he's moved, and then he's going to... Well, his moonbeam is just hanging. Oh, does he lose
his
concentration?
What?
His moonbeam that he set on the Zorn is just sort of hanging in the air over Goop.
I don't know if he loses concentration on his own spell. I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, he's
we'll
just charmed.
I'd ask you this, though. With the Zorn goopifying, like just turning into a puddle, would he still keep the moonbeam on the puddle, or does he think he's killed it?
Actually, yeah, no, he thinks he's killed it. That makes sense. He doesn't know why it turned into a thing. His best guess is, oh, I killed it with my amazing moonbeam.
Allergic to moonbeams.
He dissipates it. So that is gone. The moonbeam's gone.
Yes.
So he moved 40 feet. He is next to the corpse flower, is the official monster manual name, if you did want to look that up.
Cute.
And You know what? No, he's going to use the rest of his turn. He's going to use his action to go another 40 feet. So his turn is to just run 80 feet, and now he's right up against you. He's in your face.
Nice. Hi.
And now it is the Zorn, who reforms in front of the plant creature, probably confused.
Yes. He's back. Back again.
And I'd say he parts of him are missing because the rain made the puddle sort of dilute.
Oh no.
Not enough to be functionally different, but yeah, just like chunks of him are gone.
For flavor. He's holy. He's a holy Zorn now.
He's a Swiss Zorn.
He's just going to attack the plant creature.
Okay.
9, 12, 20, 21.
Everything except the 9 hits.
Cool.
I do like the ASMR of dice.
Eighty-eight damage
to the flower. Fuck a duck. Your Zorn obliterates this flower.
He eats it. He's a vegetarian.
So describe the whole barrage of attacks, culminating in devouring it. Does he devour the bodies that are inside the flower?
Well,
there are five bodies inside it right now because one fell out.
So he grabs it. So he lashes out with all three of its arms, misses with one, but it gets it by the two, and then he sort of hawks it up into its giant gaping mouth. And so whether the bodies would fly off as it's being hawked up into the air or not, I don't know. I would say for flavor, yes, it hawks it up and bodies.
I said there are five bodies in it. I'm going to roll a d6 and see how many bodies fly up out of it. Four. So that it's got four bodies still inside it. The Zorn eats one. So Jasper eats one body.
Jasper eats one body, and he doesn't like it, so he sort of eats the rest of the flower and then spits out a skeleton a la a cartoon cat with a fish.
Does he do a big belch?
Yes, he burps mightily. And he starts walking towards Mitchell Moore.
Okay.
But he walks like 20 feet, so he's only got a 20 feet. Yeah. So
he's now 20 feet behind Mitt. Yeah, Pin is like, because this guy just like ran towards you. And she's got her longbow armed.
I did say don't attack him when I said that.
Yeah, so he has like bolted right up to your faces, and she remembers that you've just said don't attack him. So all she does for her turn is she just backs away by like 10 feet. And like keeps her crossbow, or her longbow armed, and keeps a bead on him. Like, I'm ready. She readies an attack.
Nice. Yeah.
If he does something to you, she's going to fire. Okay, and cool. Now we're back around to Marley.
So, I have to use my action to main control over the target.
Okay, does he get a chance to save again?
On his turn, wisdom saving throw. At the end
I didn't
of each
do that.
Turn. Yeah, so you should.
Sorry. Okay. Plus, that's a 14.
Nope.
Fail. Okay, so yeah, you use your action to maintain it.
Yep, and then I say, look, I don't want to hurt you, you know that, we're friends now, but if you don't stop this, I will. Also, you're totally allowed to hit me. Everybody here will be okay if you hit me, because he has to hit somebody. Brad, like the spell says he has to hit somebody. So
okay.
I've got my shield up, and I'm like, you can totally try and hit me. It's okay. Because it's only a melee attack, so he can only hit me with like a club or a sword or a...
Yeah, something. He's got these two really vicious claw sickles in his hands.
Yeah, totally fine. I'm like, you can hit me. It's okay. Everybody will be okay if you have to hit me. It's all right. We're friends. We're just sparring. But if you don't stop this, we're going to have to kill you. Do you understand?
As a quick response, as a reaction, he just grits his teeth, and you can see in up close in his like his green dragon muzzle that's sticking out from under his cloak. He just let's see, what part of his backstory would he blurt out? Like, what would be the natural dialogue here?
Time for trauma bonding.
Because I've written down all of his motivations and some dialogue he would use, but it's more long-winded monologue-y stuff rather than...
Like quick, in an action. Quick
reactionary, yeah. Just trying to summarize something nicely. Yeah, he grits through his teeth, and you could tell by his tone of voice that he's very angry, and he just says, I must... Oh, wait. I've been told to use a certain voice. Hang on. I must make up for lost time.
Okay. I mean, like, I don't have any more sort of turn, so yep. I guess I just sort of raise my eyebrows at that.
Next would be the flower, but it's inside Jasper, so next is Arcus.
Choices. I think I'm just going to attack him. If he's all up in my face. Wait, he's close enough that I can do Word of Radiance. So that's a con save.
Okay, that's a 12.
That doesn't... I hit, and we're at 11th episode. 11th episode? Oh my god, what am I saying? 11th level. Huh.
We're only at 11 episodes? 16. My god.
We're at the 11th episode. So...
There's some long-ass episodes.
Ass episodes? That's
some blog-ass episode.
7 damage. I say, I go up to him and I'm standing near him and I'm like, boo. And it's so scary. It's so scary that he's like, and shits himself 7 points worth of damage.
He shits out 7 points worth of shit. My bowels.
Well, you know, he's not feeling great, and he's kind of feeling it around the ring of his ass, maybe. Who knows?
Okay, so him having been attacked, does that have any effect on the spell?
No, sorry. It doesn't.
Okay.
I was slightly distracted with how many episodes we were actually up to. Did you know we've released 148 episodes?
Yes, because I released them.
That's insane. We're 2 episodes off 150. Wow!
That's absurd.
Sorry.
Yep.
I got really distracted looking at that. No, it's only me and my concentration. So if he hits me, I will have to hold concentration, but that's fine.
Yep. Okay. So it's his turn now. He's going to roll a wisdom. He rolls a wisdom save at the end of his turn, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So okay. He has to hit me because I've told him to. He has no choice.
His turn to attack you. He gets multi-attack.
Yeah, so he has to use its action before moving to make a melee attack. Yeah.
I was just going to see if I could do my bonus spiritual action. Weapon? Yeah.
Yeah? Is it still a boomerang?
Yeah.
Okay. Up close, just bonk him on the head with it.
Yeah. I don't let go. I just hit him with it.
Okay.
12.
That is... A miss. Yeah,
I miss bonking him on the head with it.
He just, you go to bonk his head and he just moves his head.
Typical.
Okay, and he is going to use his turn because he has no choice but to slash his claw sickles, both of which are at Marley. That is a 23 and a 19.
Both of them hit, buddy.
Okie dokie. So these two slashes will do only 14 slashing damage, but also 8 poison damage. So 22 all up, and you are now poisoned.
Fun.
I don't know about you. You're
on your turn, Marley.
22.
On your turn, Marley, you will roll with disadvantage from now on until you roll a con save of 15, and you now need to maintain concentration.
Yeah.
Roll a con save. You got to beat 11.
it's not good. No. So it drops it. So he's free to attack anybody, and he's not charmed by me anymore.
Okay, the crown, the steel crown around his head just...
And the light in his eyes dims a bit, because he was all crazy-eyed as well.
And, yep, he is, he's back. Back, baby! And now it is the Zorn, who is 20 feet away.
I was a bit worried about his spellcasting, guys. I was trying to keep him on melee. Sorry, I couldn't hold that for longer.
It's all right. Zorn is going to close the distance and non-lethally attack this druid. Okay, so the good news is that he manages to bite the guy.
Is there bad news in this?
Okay, so you know how he's got like four attacks?
Yes.
So one of them's a 15 plus 6 to hit. The other three, I kid you not, are all nat ones.
So what, three chaos curses?
What I will do in this instance...
Can we roll three and see if they work together?
We will roll three, and I will either, as DM, choose the funniest one... Mm-hmm. Or try to combine them as best I can. So resolve the one attack that hits.
Okay. So it's 18 damage. Non-lethal damage.
Okay, so he just, what, claws him?
A bite, so it's ang.
So the bite hits. Oh, yeah, so yep. Nice. So how does he bite him? Does he, like, get the whole Dragonborn's head in his mouth, his gaping maw or something?
Yes.
I've been waiting for you to say gaping more. And you just
did. I need to say gaping more.
Now I can cross it off my bingo list for tonight.
His name is Mitchell Gaping Moore.
Right. So, you got a 19.
That removes his hood as well. So now you all get a really good look at his dragonborn head. And he's very clearly descended from green dragons.
Nice.
I gasp out at Marley. I'm like, oh, a dragoonborn. Marley, look.
So that's
it was just a lizard.
19, 20, and 61.
19, 20, and 61. Oh, wow. Okay, well, the 19 doesn't work. 19 is you willingly give your favored weapon to the nearest creature.
Well, he gave his mouth. In a
I give you my mouth. It's a 20. Oh, okie dokie. I'm going to use both 20 and 61.
Oh.
First 61, a powerful wave of energy bursts from you, so the Zorn just lets out this blast of concussive force, and it does this cool rippling effect with the rain as well, and like rain just sprays out in all directions.
Oh no, is rain okay?
Rain has been decimated. That poor mouse. She never saw it coming.
No.
And Mitchell Moore, Marley, Arcus, and Pin all take 8 radiant damage.
I was trying to. Yeah. I already took damage for you fuckers.
And Pin just cries out because she doesn't know, she doesn't understand what just happened. She saw that the Zorn eat this Dragonborn's head and then suddenly just boof, this blast, and she thinks that maybe it's some kind of like explosive attack or something. And yeah, she cowers and yells out in pain.
What was the other one?
What was 20?
And then 20, this one's interesting. You hallucinate that a foe is actually one of your loved ones. So the Zorn suddenly really loves Mitchell Moore, like a lot. It's like, oh my god, it's my long-lost Zorn wife. It's my estranged Zorn wife.
Called Jasmine.
Jasmine and Jasper.
Yep.
No, guys, son of Zorn.
Zorn 2, the rezorning.
Yes.
So the Zorn can in the next turn not attack Mitt, because it would be attacking one of its loved ones.
See, now this... he's been told to attack, and now he loves the thing he's been told to attack. Oh, I feel sorry for Jasper.
Oh, yeah. On his next turn, you need to make a choice, Waffles. Is he going to fulfill his orders and kill his wife, Jasmine?
I think the Chaos Curse would trump it. I think he's just confused. Like, how long does this last?
One turn, 6 seconds. So,
oh my god, do you lose control of him?
No, that's only if I get hit.
Okay, good. Well, didn't you get hit? Now,
you better lose control. There we go. The third Eminem reference I made tonight. That's it, guys. I'm out. It was nice. It was great.
No, I'm not in this battle. I'm like observing from a mysterious rooftop. Like I'm somehow have found a gargoyle and I'm observing.
Right. I'm gonna shoot you just to see what happens.
Yeah, it's Pin's turn. It's Pin's turn, and she's going to point her bow at Mitt, and she's going to quickly say to Marley, "Are we allowed to attack it now?"
Oh yeah. No, sorry. Yeah, oh, I've lost control completely.
And then she says, "You only get one shot," and then she attacks with her bow.
Do not miss your chance to show. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime.
That is a 15, which hits him. So she's like 10-15 feet away from him, and she just knocks an arrow, and another shit roll. 4 damage again. Fuck. Embeds it in his other arm. Why not?
Is she losing herself?
In the music?
In the moment.
Her knees are weak. Arms heavy. Mum's spaghetti on her sweater already.
And now, we're back around to Marley again.
And cool.
You are poisoned.
Yep.
So, you get disadvantage, and at the end of your turn, make a con save 15.
Yeah, she's going to do something that doesn't require her to do the roll. Because that seems easier. She's going to be like, fuck this shit. And she just... You want to give me force? I'll give you fucking force. And she just fires Thunderwave straight outwards.
Okay, that's also going to get Jasper, but that just is what it is, I suppose.
Yep.
It is.
It's a con 17.
Mitt failed.
Oh, Jasper failed.
It's 25 thunder damage, please.
Oh.
And they push 10 feet backwards.
That is enough to end the life of Mitchell Moore, unless you are...
No.
If you are being non-lethal, then you just...
trying to knock him out.
Narratively, you absolutely knock him out and send his body flying. And, he just flies back 15, 20 feet and then crashes down to the wet cobblestones.
The Zorn... thinking it's his beloved, catches him, like does a sort of dive tackle and then go no, and just like all three arms around sheltering his beloved.
Okay, the Zorn catches the fallen dragoonborn druid.
Yeah, nice. Marley swings her crossbow up to where she assumes that Drew is watching somewhere and is like, I swear to God, if you go dig down here and deal with this, I'm going to shoot you. Do you hear me?
a giant spider suddenly, upon seeing this, scuttles down.
Pin still has her bow drawn as well. She isn't quite sure what's happening because the bad man is now being cuddled by the demon thing. And she's like, is this still dangerous? What is happening?
He's gonna sort it. Are you okay? I'm feeling a bit sore. Are you feeling sore? And Marley just kind of like reaches out towards her and casts a cure wounds just first level on her to try and make her feel a bit better, you know?
Yep.
It does 13 healing. That's pretty good for her. I did an 8 on a D8. That's pretty good.
Marley after Electro shocking everyone. Anyone feeling Thor?
Yeah. I did thunder damage too. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So, as a spider, can I web up Mitchell? Can I, like, you know, in Lord of the Rings, there's Shea Gorath, and she, like, webs up Frodo. I'm doing that.
Yeah. Okay.
To the
I
druid.
Felt like you were going to go to Spider-Man for the analogy. Like, I appreciate that it's
like
Shelob.
Yeah, we're going with Shelob, right? Like,
yeah, Shelob, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, make, so using the spider's stats, because I know that they have web shooting stats.
Yeah, that's what I was asking to do.
Yep, just if it's an attack roll, then it's with advantage because he's prone.
Yeah, that's a 23 to...
Easy peasy, yeah.
Yeah.
You what, do you just pin him to the ground with webs? Or do you hang him up somewhere?
Can we go in out of the rain? Can we go into an... Like, I'm assuming the buildings around here are abandoned.
Oh, yeah, the town's been evacuated.
Yeah, great. So, well, can we find, like, a... Is there any warehouses or anything? Like, any sort of large open spaces?
Nearby. We don't want to drag through town.
Yeah, like, just within the vicinity.
Yeah, this is the town square. There's large, like, public buildings all around.
So can I hang him upside down from the roof of one of these buildings? And so, like, his face would be at our, like, eyeline standing?
Setting him up for the Spider-Man kiss, are we?
I dig it. Kirsten Dunst is going to show up at any minute.
Yes.
Exactly.
And so he's unconscious. So once I've done that as a spider, I'm going to turn back into a halfling and, like, give Zorn a encouraging pat and say, it's okay, buddy. I want you just to walk away from here for about an hour. You did good. So just have a friendly stroll. You've earned it.
It gives you a friendly clap on the shoulder, but because it's got enormous beefy arms, it like slams you to the floor.
And I put a hand on Pin going, I don't think that was an attack. It's okay. We're still okay. We're okay.
I give it the thumbs up, like, I'm okay.
And yeah, it just walks away like Bruce Banner at the end of the old like Hulk TV series. Yep. Just, my job is done. I'll walk into the sunset.
He was David Banner in that series.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Hey. Ah.
I find myself.
Why would you take away the alliteration? That's the best thing about superheroes.
Because they did. Which is why his dad is now canonically called David.
Patting Pin, and I don't mean to, but it's just her silver fur is so soft, and I've put a hand on her shoulder, and I'm just like, oh, sorry. I bet you people do that all the time. Ha ha!
She says, that's one of the reasons I live alone in the mountains, dear.
Because of people like you.
I feel violated. I feel unsafe.
I'm so
At
sorry.
At least it was just light petting, not heavy petting.
So,
you don't want non-consensual heavy petting.
I look at the group and say, I think it's time for a bit of a short rest, don't you think? I think we've earned one. And he's going to start gathering bits of, firewood or whatever that he can find to make a little...
Bear in mind, this Dragoonborn man is physically restrained, but he can cast spells.
Mm-hmm.
But he's unconscious.
He's a spellcaster. Yeah.
Can we tape up his mouth somehow?
Yeah, I'm assuming his mouth is also, webbed up.
A short rest would also work for him. Technically speaking, he would also heal to a certain point.
Even unconscious?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he would still be restrained.
You've got to assume that NPCs still get,
I mean, sleep, usually.
Fair. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's just beat him up. Let's find out what he has.
Either way, I want to wait an hour, at least, to make sure that the Zorn is no longer around as a threat.
Yeah, fair enough. So an hour passes... And you have whatever rest and roll whatever hit dice or whatever you are doing during a short rest. You successfully achieve one.
I'm going to be playing, obviously, to make sure that everybody gets the extras that comes out of me playing Song of Rest.
Okay.
Also, I want to be playing when he is waking up.
Okay, I'd say, yeah, he after a while of being knocked out, he wakes up to the sound of you playing.
Cool, and I'm just still playing for a while.
You're playing, and he starts wriggling in his restraints and growling.
And I just I cast Command, and I just say, stop struggling, stop fighting. Or no, I say, because you can only cast one word, I say...
Calm.
No, I say obey.
Can I make a... Can I cast Charm Person on him?
Yeah.
He's going to need to make a Wisdom saving throw. DC 16.
He gets a 21.
Ah, dang. Never mind.
Yeah. His mouth is covered by your webbing, but you get the impression that he's saying through his restrained mouth something to the effect of, like, fuck off.
We mean you no harm. Like, legitimately, seriously, we could have killed you, but we didn't. Can we talk this out? Can I, like, try to persuade him or something, just that we're not a threat? Well, he knows that we can hurt him because we have, but that we're not intending to hurt him, that we'd prefer to talk.
Okay. And Jules, Marley's...
It's a Wisdom saving throw.
Okay, yeah. That is a plus 6, 17.
Oof, mate's beat, so he's not still. But I have been playing this whole time. Do you think that he would have been listening for... where the fuck is it? There's a thing where if I'm playing for a while, they're just charmed by me. Oh no, because it would have been another Wisdom saving throw, so he would have saved on that one. Yeah, because, well, unless we go, he failed Command, but can he roll again for enthralling performance? Do you know what I mean? Like, they're two
natural
different
20.
Things. Technically? Okay, well, whatever. I was trying all of my different things.
Keep wasting spell slots.
Oh, they're not spell slots. They're all abilities. You know, all of my character feature stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, lame.
Yeah.
Can I roll a persuasion so we can persuade him that we're not friends per se, but friendly?
Yeah.
That's an unnatural 21.
Okay. And Wisdom save. Yep, 13. He understands. He gets that you are not going to actively try and harm him.
Cool.
I attack him.
Okay, roll it up. With advantage, he's restrained.
I mean, you can, but you literally undo everything we just did.
I know. I'm sorry.
It's so funny. Do it. It's so funny.
No,
that's
it
exactly
is,
what it Marcus
is,
would do.
It is pretty funny.
Marcus would be like, I wasn't listening. What are we doing? And just attack him with lightning.
You guys tied him up, so now we shock him, right?
No, we shock him with how friendly we're going to be.
With our hospitality.
Now, if I remove these restraints, will you promise not to attack us?
He nods his head.
Can I roll an insight to see if he's lying?
Okay.
That is... 16.
He's lying.
Wait.
You don't buy it. You just don't. He nodded because he knew that's what you want.
Damn. Like, he is lying.
I would like to do something to help with intimidation. I would like to cast Darkness.
Ooh.
Which I think I just get to do. It says magical darkness spreads from a point you choose within a range to fill 15-foot radius sphere for the duration.
Okay.
The darkness spreads around corners.
You just do that sort of around him.
Yeah, I put him in complete darkness, and then I wait a turn.
And Molly helps you out, and Molly sends a quick prayer up to Hate It, being like, Hate It, we just need a hand for a minute. I'm going to open the locker. Can you say something terrifying as a god? That would be real great. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
And I use thaumaturgy to, like, make
the
wind rustle around when it's happening and make it creepy.
Praise the owl and the knowledge, and we love you, Hate It. Thank you. Please help us out just this one time. Come on, man. Like, just give... Yeah, anyway. Okay. Yeah. All right. It's happening. And she, like, puts the key in the ear, pulls open the locker, and I like to think that even in darkness, Hadith's locker still shines. Like, it's fucked up because it's a god world.
You open the thing and you hear Hadith's voice just go, "Ah, put me on the spot. Boogity boogity boo. I'm a god. Be scared of me. Ah." Was that good, Marley?
While this is happening, I'm turning into a direwolf and growling intimidatingly.
Okay. In response to you doing that, you notice that he starts shaking very violently in his trappings.
Oh, crap. I forgot he's a druid.
Exactly.
And you notice that the webs that are restraining him start to stretch and bulge as he turns into a gigantic brown bear.
I should have attacked him.
And then, so the webbing snaps and he breaks free of it and just lands on two powerful bear legs as he flips up from upside down to right way up. And you now have a brown bear in your presence.
Yeah,
I could guess you say he had the right to bear legs.
Molly says, "Thanks for nothing, Hadith. Come on, man, just one time." Slams the locker, pulls the key out, puts it back in, yanks out her masterwork dagger and just runs at this bear for the stab. Like, she's
okay,
like,
does anyone else immediately attack it in response?
Yeah, if he turns into a bear, I'm attacking as a wolf.
I feel like I was pretty primed to attack it already.
Yeah, you were. Okay. You were miles ahead of the rest of us.
Pin is keeping her distance but holding a bow up, so I want all four to make a concentrated attack all at once.
Okay.
So this bear suddenly gets just bombarded with a single coordinated attack.
Do we choose like one thing or?
Are we rolling like a hit? So I rolled 21 to hit.
Roll to hit, yep.
Okay.
I rolled 16 to hit. Oh, which would be a 21.
Yep.
22.
Okay, all four hit. Everyone hits. So instead of rolling up your damage, because he only has like one hit point, this guy's on his last leg, see?
He gets the hit points of the bear.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, bears don't have a lot of hit points.
No,
there's
don't.
No way you could, that this coordinated attack would be less than that.
I mean, I did 13 on my own.
Yeah, so this arrow shoots through from Pin's bow at the other end of the room, and the giant dire wolf that is Drew launches, I presume, a biting attack.
Yes, he bites, chomps down.
Yeah, and Arcus, what's your attack?
I want to send a plague of insects at him.
Okay. I don't even care about the spell mechanics of that. You do. You just
hurl insects. I have the spell. Yeah.
And yeah, he just gets bitten and attacked by all these insects. And what does Marley do?
I'm stabbing with the frost dagger. So it's like cold and icy as well as piercy.
Oh, yeah. And so all of this hits all at once. And the bear just roars out and then falls to the floor and then shrinks back down to the Dragoonborn. And he mutters in like a pathetic state, lying on the floor, back to the original like one hit point that he had, and says almost maybe to you, maybe to himself,
"The trees have told me my people have been away from this world for 12,790 years. The humans and elves and dwarves have prospered while we were locked away, forgotten, but no more. I will destroy all who live where my home once stood. I will destroy all who live where my home once stood."
And then he repeats that a couple times, sort of, yeah, to himself, like he's fading out. "I will destroy. I will destroy.
Please don't.
I mean, good luck."
I'm half tempted to stabilize him.
Don't
I know
it.
I shouldn't.
Don't do
I
it.
I know I'm not. I'm just saying I'm
don't
tempted.
Do it. Oh my gosh, girl, you're so crazy. Don't do it. Don't,
like,
don't
legit.
Molly is literally looking at Drew and messaging him, being like, "Don't you fucking dare do it." Like, you know,
break
like inside his head, he's hearing Molly be like, "Don't you fucking dare. Don't."
Drew is just crying. Like, he is like legit in tears, being like, we can have peace. We can have peace. Like, you don't need to destroy. This world is big enough for everything. We can have peace. Please, please give peace a chance.
Typical hippie.
Make some plants. You're a druid. Show him that you care about nature too.
Yeah, like, he's just going to use, like, his druid craft to, like, bloom his armor to be, like, as beautiful and, like, all of, like, the flowers and everything. So it's, like, this cacophony of, like, coffee flowers, which I believe are red and beautiful. And just the sort of fragrance is filling the air. This beautiful, sweet, subtle fragrance of coffee. And outside, the rain, it stops and a rainbow shows in the sky. Andrew points and sees, like, see, after the rain, there's a rainbow. We can rebuild. We your people, there's room in this world for your people. You don't have to destroy. Haven't enough things been destroyed already?
To be fair, I shot insects at him. That's part of nature.
Yeah,
stabbed him with a frost blade thing. Elemental, part of nature. I feel like this was the best way for him to go. You know, in a way, maybe this is what he wanted.
But he didn't have to go. And Drew is just cradling him, like, just crying his eyes out, and he's just appealing to his better nature, which...
Yeah, he keeps muttering, but with increasing...
nature, sorry.
With increasing levels of just patheticness, just like, I will destroy. I must destroy.
No. No, you're not. You don't have to. You don't have to.
And you notice that... growing into the room from outside is, like, a vine. So it's growing, like, under a crack in a door. This just long vine starts to work its way into the room like a serpent, almost. And it comes up to your group, and it starts to grow up and wind and twirl, and then it branches off into multiple vines, and they spin around each other like a helix, almost. And then it builds up till it's about 2 feet tall off the ground, and then the tail of it contracts from outside in, and it becomes this sort of 2 foot tall vine creature, and then this bulb appears at the top, like, grows, and then
Seen this hentai.
And then it blooms open into this brilliant red flower with like sharp ended teardrop shaped petals, and in the center of the flower a face appears, and it has a huge smile filled with, like, small jagged teeth like thorns.
Oh dear God.
And it gives all of you this big toothy smile, and then just says, hey, hey, I'm Damien. Hey, hey, are you Marley and Arcus? I'm Damien. Hi. Hey. Hey. Hi. And it waves like a leaf at you. Hi. Hi.
Plant.
Which one are you, Marley? Is it that one? Are you Marley? And it's pointing at Pip. Are you Marley?
Marley's like holding her hand up and being like, I'm Marley Criff, so you've heard of me? I don't know if that's a good thing.
Yeah, it says, hi. Hi, I'm Damien. And then points at Drew and says, you must be Arcus. Hi, Arcus. I'm Damien. Hello. Hi.
Nope. Yes, the cloud.
That is Arcus. No, yep. That's Arcus. All right.
I give him a thumbs up.
That's Arcus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damien? Who sent
that's
you?
That's me. I'm Damien. Hi. Hey.
Who sent you?
Oh, Keshtar. You know what Keshtar is, right?
Like the god? Oh, God. Yeah. Not another one.
Yes. Oh, yes. So, okay. Right. Okay. So, I'm Damien. Hi. Keshtar, god of life. Awesome. Awesome chick. If you ever meet her, tell her Damien said hi. She won't know because I'm kind of new. But Keshtar, she sent me to, like, be helpful to you. Like, I don't know, like I don't really know what I can do, but it's good to be here. I was a seed, and now I'm not a seed. I was a seed for way too long. But hi, I'm Damien.
Damien. Okay, we've got your name. Damien, do you think Keshtar sent you here for him? And she sort of points down to Mitchell Moore. This this poor soul is nature lost.
Ah, no, but I think I've got an idea. And he sort of waddles over to Mitchell Moore on his little like root-like feet, and then he like a vine comes out of him and it starts to wrap around Mitchell Moore, and then it more and more wraps around him until he's almost in like a cocoon.
So Mitchell Moore is still alive, yes?
One hit point, like,
yeah, basic. he's alive but barely.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then this Damien, presumably a demon, it was sent by the god of life, starts to, yeah, like it completely covers Mitchell Moore in this green vine cocoon, and then it gets thicker and thicker until there's no sign of the dragonborn inside it.
Damn,
and then there's this sort of
cocoon.
There's this sort of glowing green light, like emitting through the cracks, and then the vine cocoon quickly whips away. It sort of whips away and dissipates, and there is nothing there. You said, "Oh, yeah. I sent him to Kashtar. She'll judge him."
Did he just eat?
Is he dead?
I mean,
he's not dead.
No, did that plant just eat a person?
He's not here. He's not here anymore. Was that the right thing to do? I don't know.
Is he dead?
Yeah, no, Marley nods.
What is dead? What is dead?
that was the right thing to do, Damien. Thank you.
What is dead? I don't know this dead. Who is that? Why is that?
Do you know Sorgamol?
No. What is a Sorgamol? Am I a Sorgamol?
Sorgamol's the god of...
Let me explain to you the water cycle.
He rolls his eyes.
when you're a puddle, you turn into a drop, and then...
Damien, we don't have time for this. Arcus will keep going for hours, and then hand you a pamphlet, and it never really goes anywhere. So let's just walk and talk.
No, but give me money.
Walk and talk. All right.
Can I interest you in some Skyontology?
Why?
He reaches a long, like, wending and winding vine to sort of gently touch Drew on the shoulder from where he's standing.
Drew is still extremely, like, angry and confused.
He just says, "You're Drew."
Yes.
"I'm Damien. Hi."
"How'd you know that name?"
"Kashtar told me. She said you're great."
"Thank you."
"You need to help these people."
"I'm trying."
And then he gestures to like Arcus and Marley. He says, not these people. These people." And he sort of gestures more widely to like the area.
"I've been trying."
"Said they won't trust druids after what they just went through. You need to change that."
"Okay."
"Kashtar says you can be a champion of life. Do you want that?"
"I go outside and I..."
Where's he going? I'm talking
just
to
leaves
him.
And then conversation.
Just show... He takes a coffee seed and he plants it and he casts plant growth.
A coffee seed?
Yeah.
Or a toffee seed.
Aha. It's a coffee, toffee-flavored coffee seed. And immediately a massive coffee tree grows out of where he planted the seed.
Damien says, "That's my cousin." "Just kidding."
He says, "Life. That's what I do. Life."
Awesome.
Does coffee grow on trees?
It does.
It does, actually.
Google coffee
says it's a shrub.
It's a tree. Fine, a
it
coffee
says
shrub.
Here it's shrubbery.
Fine, a shrubbery erupts from the ground.
I was just like, if coffee grows on a tree, then surely it's a fruit.
It is. It's a fruit, and you just eat
but
the
it's
seeds.
A shrub.
But you can't eat the fruit. It's actually like pulpy, and depends on how you make it, can be quite sweet.
Hey, look at that shrub.
As this is happening, and I'm assuming Damien is following Drew outside, I just look at Pin and I'm like, "Are you staying, going? What are you doing, Pin?"
She says, I've got a home to take care of. I've got plants of my own, wildflowers that I need to tend to. But I'll be coming back to this place regularly to check up on them, make sure that everyone here who lives here gets through.
Can you vouch for Drew for us?
I mean, most certainly. Yes, they know me here, and if I vouch for them, or vouch for him, I'm sure they'll welcome him with open arms.
I have a feeling this Damien is going to want us to leave and go somewhere. That tends to be the Apple Squatteth way. Come in, swoop in, make a mess. Don't stay to clean it up.
We're homeless vagabonds, wayward on our journey.
Oh, the veggie pygmies. The ones that we left alive, what happened to them?
They regained a level of consciousness, and while you were fighting.
Just one.
And then as soon as Mitch Elmore was defeated, or when he went unconscious, they sort of just snapped out of it and confusedly just walked away in the rain.
Makes sense.
Molly gives Pin a hug and is like, it was lovely to meet you.
Oh, you too, dear. Please do say... Do stay safe. The world has become a very dangerous place.
Are there any...
Absolutely. Don't tell us what to do.
And then I think Molly would wander out after... Because she's been still in the building. So then she'd wander outside after Damien, Andrew, and be like, oh, look, I don't remember that tree being there before. Or is that a shrub?
It's a shrub.
Did anyone die during the attack?
Yeah. Quite a few... things.
Can lots I like
people.
Find
yeah lots of lots of humans died before you guys got there.
Can I find like the nearest human?
There's a dead corpse that was spat out by the corpse flower.
How long ago did it die?
Sometime in the last hour. Oh no, because you had that hour rest, so sometime in the last like 2 or 3 hours.
I'm going to spend the next hour casting reincarnate on this corpse.
Okay, can we say goodbye first? Because that would be nice.
Yes. Yeah.
We're not like, waiting an hour. There's also, by the way, a giant water elemental attacking a town and a giant freaking, like, tortoise walking about to smash a town. So I've got places to go.
Yep. Oh, as you get, like, as I'm doing this and as you guys are leaving, Drew calls out and says, water elementals don't like ice. If you've freeze them, they can't move, which makes sense. So ice is good against them. The giant turtle things can't really help you there. Never really seen them before. But the elementals, they'll drown you. So unless you can breathe in water or wouldn't get too close to them, unless you're going to freeze them. That's my advice.
Okay, thanks.
And then he sets to reincarnating this thing, which is going to become a hill dwarf. When it is alive again.
Molly goes and like whistles to Hodge somewhere across town is like,
yeah. Hodge comes a swooping and
Marcus turns to Molly while they're waiting for Hodge and is just like, do you think we could also boil the elementals and like turn them into steam?
Okay, maybe.
They don't like ice.
But also we've got this Damien creature that definitely is going to want us to do something. You just know it, don't you?
Hi, I'm Damien.
Hi, Damien.
I don't want anything. I don't know. I don't want or know anything. I'm just Damien.
Oh,
see,
right.
The problem with Damien is I don't know if we're soiling him as a good thing or a bad thing.
That's true. And as we're sitting there and as Drew is like mending this body and Hodge lands with a big thump and I say, good boy, you did so good. You did good boy. And I'm like giving him big cuddles. I lean over towards Drew and I was like, bye. Will we see you again?
I hope so. I'm going to stay here. I can bring these people back. Well, I can. They won't be the same when they come back as when they die, but they'll be alive. And I'm going to try to...
Damien lends his big flower face into your huddle and just goes, hi, I'm Damien.
Hi, Damien.
Hi, Damien.
Yeah.
Molly is like, is this what I sound like all the time?
Yes.
Wow, that's really annoying. Okay. Gotta reassess.
I'll be here. So if you need me, like probably
for
in a day
you,
or two.
If the rain starts to fall.
Yes. You know I can, I've been all over Iceland. So if you're where I've been, I could get back to you, if that makes sense. But I'll be here. So if you can get a message here, if you need me. But apart from that, I'm going to be fixing this town and praying.
When it hasn't been your May, a week, a month, or even your year,
I'll be there for you.
And that's the end of the episode.
I'll be there for you.
I'll be there for you.
Cause you're there for me too.
The end of the episode. Good night. I'm going to bed.
Right, good night.
It's the friends reunion tonight.
Mitchell is no more. How about that coffee tree? I mean, shrub. Or is it a tree? I don't know. Write to us. And who's this Damien guy? A plant demon sent by the god of life? That's gotta be a good thing, right? Right? And huge, huge thank you to Waffles for being an incredible guest for the past 8 episodes. That's right, 8. Hopefully by now, all Fate of Ice and listeners are also fans of Waffles' podcast, Waffles and Mario Talk About Things. But if you are not, then make sure you go and listen to it right now. Well, I mean, not right now, but like as soon as this episode has finished. We couldn't make the Fate of Ison without the love and help and just good vibes that we get from all of our Patreon supporters. Alex White Robinson, Person Who Wants to Stay Anonymous, Robert Baldino from Not Quite Heroes Podcast, Irene Cucci, Laura Christine Goodwin and James Blyser from Wheel of Woe Podcast, Sajay Hodgkins, Laura Douglas, Mel Ziegler, Roger Afamata, Sam Malcolm from Table Tales, Kydron Faust, Lauren Flake, Kai Dealer, Rihanna Kavalsik, Kevin Swift from The Dice Cult, Ben Edwards, Victorian Gavin Porter, Daniel Nickers from The Happy Go Lucky Podcast, KP, Squished, Alexandra Litkais, Andrew Evans, Danny Holman from The Garad of It Podcast, Kevin Carver, Dakota Szymanski, Damian Liberton, Andrew M, Alexander Waffles Williams, and Jared from The Indie Film Review. Okay. That's it from me. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And once again, thank you very much, Waffles, for joining us for the past 8 episodes. Alrighty. See you next time, everyone.
Gar, Captain, what's that behind ye?
Hey, I don't know. What be that behind me, lad?
Look behind ye. Look behind ye.
I am looking behind me, lad. What is it?
That's my knife in your back.
I'm Waffles.
And I'm Mario.
And together we're...
Waffles and Mario talk about things. Us things, yes.
Friday. Oh, we're still up for drinks. Friday. Oh, you know we're up for drinks. You know we're up for drinks.
Yeah, nah.
That was improvised.
What if you want us to talk about next? That's the gimmick.
We can talk about stories we've got, genre mashups, parodies, or even current news.
We can talk about anything.
Improv joke.
Improv
joke. Stand up.
Insert joke here.
That we can cut to. That we can cut to. Middle of bumper. It's pretty self-explanatory. It's in the name.
Waffles and Mario talk about things.
So come on down and find us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get good podcasts from.
We're on Twitter at @Waffles_Mario.
We're a proud member of the Necropodicon Network.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.